And what is there to believe? The belief that Isaac, through Isaac, the rest of Abraham's descendants will come. That descendants will come. Then he has to be alive for that to happen. Now, if God asked me to kill him and tells me to kill him, he figured word stood above what he believed was the natural laws. And that was how much he believed God. And because of that, it was accredited to him as righteousness. What can we learn? Isaac was a child of promise, born to Abraham at a very old age, a gift from God, okay, the apple of his eye. Now, the person, it is possible at this point in time to be so engrossed with the gift that God has given you that you forget about God. God becomes relegated to the sidelines. The gift became prominent. The person that Abraham had to depend on for his life actually was God, not Isaac. And God had to put it straight. So it was a test for Abraham to trust only in God and for him to provide, okay, not to trust in the provisions. Some of us might be feeling, no, this is a terrible thing that God has done, you know, to put that old man through such a painful test. And this brings us to the second point. This whole episode points us forward to the time when man will be saved through the sacrifice of God's only Son. How do we know this? How do we know this? Okay, look at this verse. Genesis 22:2. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Look at those words again. It says, is this familiar to you? Where have you seen this, these words before? Your only son, the only son whom you love. Okay, and this is where you can find it. Matthew 3. This is about the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. And the voice after Jesus comes out of the water, a voice from heaven says, this is my son whom I love. And then John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes. So you see, there's a parallel there. There's a parallel there. It points. What Abraham faced points to the future when Christ would die for us. In Genesis 22:13, Abraham looks up and there he saw a ram. After the angel says, no, don't lay a hand on the child, now God knows that you are faithful. And then he looks up and he sees there's a ram there in the bushes. And he uses the ram as a sacrifice. The ram substituted Isaac in terms of the sacrifice. So he says there in verse 14, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Now, think ahead, 1,800 years later, after Abraham went through this test, God himself sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified on the cross on our behalf. And in this particular case, there was no substitute for Christ. But Christ became a substitute for us. Because we actually have to die for our own sins. But Christ became that substitute. And he died on our behalf. What is the application for us today? It is a test of faith for us to trust only in God, the God who provides, and not on his provisions. Now, as a church today, we are facing major challenges. We are talking about raising $2 million or thereabouts for purchasing of the property and building some structures to house two congregations so that we can actually spread out and grow. At the same time, we have the challenge of raising additional funds for our pastors. Now, You know that we have a pastor who is going to be, who's candidating to be joining us as a pastor to serve in the English congregation now that Pastor Roger is going to make his way out. At the end of December, his contract would have ended, Pastor Roger's contract with us. And so there will be a time in which when Pastor Roger is on leave from next year, because he has got long service leave, there will be a time in which that we have to pay effectively two salaries. Okay, so we have, on top of what we, you know, for the building, we need to raise more funds. And then we're also thinking of possibly having Pastor Roger to continue with us for another 1 or 2 years in another role as an overseer, 2 days a week maybe, for another 1 or 2 years. So there's additional cost involved again. So we are facing very challenging times. And I know that, you know, it's... this is a test, okay? I mean, you look at Scripture. Abraham was tested against idolatry. The idolatry where Isaac became the focus. In our case, we are being tested as well. Many of us feel that, I think, you know, generally, we have this idea that, oh, yeah, we trust God, but that's a lot of lip service there. Really, who do we trust? We actually trust our bank accounts. We actually trust the salary packets that we receive from work. And we're thinking sometimes, hey, this seems to be like an infringement on my moral right over what I've earned. After all, you know, if you're talking about giving money, why should I? Look, I work hard. It's my talent. It's my time. It's my effort. It's my sweat. My tears on the top. I'm doing all this. And I should have a moral right to what I earn. From one perspective, that is right. But let's look at the story of a group of scientists. All right? I'll just relay this story to you. One day, a group of scientists came together and, you know, they were very confident. And they say, well, we have come a long way. We can do so many things now. Really, we don't need God. We don't need God. So they send one of them as a representative to go and meet God. And he walks up to God and says, God, guess what? We are going to get rid of you. We don't need you anymore. Please take a hike. Because nowadays, we can clone people. You know, our technology is so good. We can heal this disease and that. We don't need you. And God says, you know, listens to them very patiently, and then he says, okay, why not, you know, we do something about this. Now, we have a competition, a making man. Let's have a man-making competition. And the scientist says, okay, we can do that. We feel that we are equipped to do that. And God says, yeah, but there's one catch. Let's do it as we did the old way. You know, as when I made Adam. And the scientist says, okay, can do. And he bends down and he grabs some dirt in his hand. Because, well, you know, Adam was made from dust. Grabs some dirt. And God looks at him and says, no. You can't do that. The scientist says, why? Get your own dirt. You know, because even dirt, God made something out of nothing. Even dust, God created. Now, when we feel that we own things, we need to think again. Do we really own ourselves? Or are all these talents, these gifts, your physique, you know, your appearance, your abilities, your strength, your health, is that really yours? Or did someone give it to you? So if we look at that story of the scientists, well, you know, it might have come out from one of those jokes, the books on man versus God jokes. But there is a gem in there. And the fact is, we don't have any control over ourselves. We don't own ourselves in that sense. God made us. When we give anything to God at all, okay, whether it's financial resources, our time, our effort, our talent, when we give that to God, we are just offering God back a little bit, a portion, a very small portion of what He has given us. So we have to put that into perspective. Abraham passed the test of idolatry. He did not withhold his own son. Now, I don't believe God is asking us to sacrifice at that level. We have not come to the point of shedding our blood. It might feel that way for some of us, but we have not come to the point yet. Do we believe that He will provide for us even if we give ourselves and our resources? In the end, God's name will be glorified, with or without us. And I treasure the privilege and the opportunity that God has given me to labor alongside with all of us here and with God to push forward. To trust only God to provide instead of provisions. And then, secondly, it reveals God's great love for us. So that knowing this, we can fully worship Him through the giving of ourselves. Okay. Sorry. Now Romans 8:31 and 32 says this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Can you see what this verse is saying? Okay, He who did not spare His own Son. Now, the most precious gift that God had available for us was His own Son, Jesus Christ. He did not spare Him, but He gave Him for us. Will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? In other words, now that God has sacrificed Christ to us, what will He withhold from us? Is there anything more valuable than Christ that He will withhold from us? No, because Christ is the most precious, and God has given you the most precious. So, seriously, $2 million, or your bank account, or your work and all that, of course God will take care of us. So Abraham believed God. We are children of Abraham because we, by faith, become children of Abraham. And we need to have that faith of Abraham to press on. There are three statements here I'd like us to meditate upon. First, who are we and all we have? Who we are and all we have, whether our life, health, wealth, and talents, is not ours but is God's. Spelling error. Secondly, God will provide for Abraham's children by faith, just as He did for Abraham after the test. So as I said, we are children of Abraham. God will provide for us too by faith. And thirdly, the test for us has begun. Alright. This is a challenge, but I challenge you from the perspective where God is faithful. Not because we are capable. Not because our bank accounts are fat. Not because of anything else. But only because God is faithful. And this is a project not for us. It is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And it is therefore God's work and God's call. If we sacrifice to serve God, fulfilling His call, I assure you, without a shadow of a doubt, that He will provide. You cannot outgive God. And that is a fact. You cannot outgive God. God is no man's debtor. What you can give, He can give much more. I mean, we have shared about the parable of, the story where Jesus had fed 5,000 and 4,000 people from a small number of loaves of bread and fish. God multiplies. So if we come to God with a little, He multiplies. He makes it work. But this is a great opportunity for us to see God work. Now, for some of us, we might be thinking, hey, this is really frightening. Maybe I'll look at going to another church where they already have a building. No building fund, yay! You know, and you can go there. Yes, you can. But guess what? You have robbed yourself of the opportunity to see God work. Because it is in trials like this that people see the hand of God. Abraham saw the hand of God again because he trusted. And God loves His people who can exercise that faith. It is what He wants. Faithful Christians. Alright, I close with that, and I hope that instead of frightening you, it gives you someone to hold on to. Not any one of us here. Him. Hold on to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for the example of Abraham and how, God, You have time and time again proved Yourself faithful, not just to Abraham, but all the sons of faith over time. And today, Lord, we thank You for this trial. Yes, it is frightening, but Lord, we pray that You will give us courage in our hearts to walk alongside with You and watch You work, and we contribute our part. And Father, we thank You for being the God who provides. Thank You for all this. In Jesus' name, Amen.